But on this stage and on albums, well, you've heard him. And incidentally, his new album is coming out soon, and I'm certainly waiting for this. So it's with a great deal of pleasure and a lot of expectancy that I now introduce Mr. Bob Newhart.
Thank you, Dick. I don't say you're a drunk, do I? I would like to apologize to you for my size. A lot of people think I'm taller than I actually am. And I started out as an accountant, and this is about as big as an accountant gets, right here. This is known as stocky in accounting, this my build. It's nice being back to some of the more intimate rooms in Los Angeles. I'm starting a show in the fall. It's not a plug, it's just something I wanted to mention. And the agency has been thinking about what type of television show it should be, and they felt that I sort of epitomized the guy next door, see? And this was going to be the whole idea of the television show, built around the guy next door type image, which means something to them. And they did a little survey to sort of protect themselves, and they found out that 57% of the people in the United States can't stand the guy next door. It's usually a smart punk kid who gets drunk and comes in about 3 o'clock in the morning, see? So we had to revise the whole format. One of the big problems with the show is going to be commercials, because very often you'll be going along very good, and then bang, you know, the commercial, and you have to win the audience back after the commercial, because they're kind of sullen for about 5 or 6 minutes after each commercial. And the commercials that you see that bother you the most, there is a way you can get so you will look forward to them coming on, and that is by changing the ends of the commercials. You put your own ends to these commercials. Here are two examples of the type of thing you might want to do. This is the commercial with the dentist talking to the patient in the chair. You've seen that one a couple hundred times. And the dentist says to the guy in the chair, Mr. Jones, I recommend you try to brush your teeth after every meal. You have entirely too many cavities. Well, Doc, I can't carry a toothbrush around with me all day. Oh, hell, that's right. Yeah, you'd be dead. That's the type of thing. You put your own ends to... Here's another one. This is the sinus congestion commercial. And the poorest taste. This is where the guy is actually shown with the two bottles on his forehead. You know that one? And they're shown draining, you know? And the guy usually says something like, gee, I don't know what it is. I've had this sinus headache all day. Oh, it's no wonder, Harry. Somebody's pasted some bottles to your forehead. There's no telling what's been pasted over there. I would like to do one of the newer ones, so I don't have to watch your lips move. This is an interview. As you know, there are many interviews on television. They're called in-depth interviews, and they usually will talk to some controversial figure in the news, and they're done very dramatically, usually spotlight and an interviewee and a guy in the background. You don't even know who it is. You just know it's some controversial figure in the news, and it usually opens something like this.
Good evening. Mike Wallace, Nightline. And we're brought to you tonight by Parliaments. Our guest in the studio tonight is Dr. Wernher von Braun. Dr. von Braun was formerly head of the German missile program. He is now head of the Huntsville, Alabama arsenal. Dr. von Braun, I suppose the question most often asked you, was the fact that you were head of the German missile program a matter of political conviction, or was this political expediency on your part?
Oh boy, that one, huh? Well, I really didn't have that much to do with it, to tell you the truth. I'll tell you how it happened. This was back in around 1940. I was working in a beer garden in Stuttgart. And, you know, like on Friday night, the waitresses and I, we go to one of the girls' pads and we get some pizzas and some schnapps, you know, and I get half tank, you know, and I take this little tin can, put a firecracker underneath it, you know, and light the firecracker. This thing would go about 4 or 5 feet up in the air, you know. And everybody would say, what the hell was that? Or, you know, what a nut that Wernher or something like that. And everybody forget about it, except this one party. The little guy walks over. He's got a little mustache, a piece of hair falling in his eyes. He says, what'd you do with the tin can there with the... What makes this thing go up in the air like that? I said, well, see, I'll tell you. See the explosion. Yeah, well, let me put the top of the can. See the force. Every time I do it, the thing goes about 4 or 5 feet up in the air. He says, what do you call this thing there? I said, that's a rocket. I call that a rocket. I named it after my landlord, Irving Arcot, see. See, I'm about 3 months behind in the rent, you know, and one day comes a knock at the door to our landlord, and he says, look, Wernher, you know, you got to knock off with the firecrackers in the middle of the night. And I know you're an inventor and all that stuff, and please don't hand me the Madame Curie bit, you know what I mean? I mean, what her landlord wants to do about her rent, that's his business, I want mine, see. So I said, look, I'm working on an invention. If the thing works, I'll name it after you. And he says, you're going to call it an Irving? I said, no, I'm going to call it a rocket. So anyway, back at the party, little guy with a little mustache, a piece of hair falling in his eyes. He says, I'm the head of the German people. So I said, oh, you know, that's great, you know. Crazy, you know. And he says, you know, that would make a terrific weapon, you know that? I said, well, first of all, you'd have to get right on top of the guy, you know, with you know, with a tin can. And you'd have to hit him in the face or something like that to really hurt him. See, I think your big problem there is going to be getting that close to the guy, you know what I mean? He says, no, but what I mean, you don't see what I mean. What if you took 100 firecrackers and a great big tin can, see? I said, well, we thought about that, but the problem there is, by the time you light the fuse on the last firecracker, the one, see, it's already gone off. He says, well, look, we're trying to get a missile because everybody's got them and we don't got them. And we go to these foreign minister conferences and they say, have you got a missile? And all we want to be able to say, yeah, we got a missile. See, that's all we want it for. He said, would you head up the program, see? I said, I don't know anything about it. He says, look, it's a civil service job. You'd be a GS-12. And, you know, when you're 55, you go down to Baden-Baden, and it's a good thing, see? So anyway, I figure, all right,
So they're sitting across my desk, requisitions, liquid oxygen, you know, solid propellants, all that. I don't know what they're doing. I'm signing my name, Werner von Braun, and once a month, there's a 350, like clockwork, you know what I mean? So to make a long story short, we lose the war, and the Americans come over, you know, and they say, we've seen your name on some of the acquisitions, and we'd like you to head up the missile program, you know? I said, look, I really didn't have that much to do with it. See, I was at this party in Stuttgart, see? And they said, never mind, we need a name, will you do it, see? So I said, all right, I'll head up the missile program. So that's how I got to be head of the American missile program.
Well, Dr. von Braun, our time is running out. As you know, we now have a man in space. The Russians, a few weeks before us, put a man in space. Was this the eventual plan of the German missile program to put a man in space?
Oh, we put a man in space. Oh, yeah, my brother-in-law Herman put him up there in 1940, it was. We put a total of 10 guys up in space in 1940.
You mean in 1940, the problem that had been holding us back for so long, you had already solved it, the problem of reentry.
But what problem is this you're talking about?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. von Braun, and thank you very much, Lynn.
Bob, come on. Like a breath of fresh air, that boy. Be sure and watch for his new album. Be out soon.